Focus for our sermon today comes from Romans chapter 11. You can find it on page 4 and 5 in your service folder. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. One of the important doctrines that we teach that it seems like a lot of Christian churches are starting to reject is the idea of original sin. And to me, it's a little bit striking. I think that the Bible is very clear on that teaching. And then, if you're a parent, you raise kids, do you have to teach your kids to be selfish? Do you have to teach your kids to fight with their siblings? Do you have to teach your kids to hit? It's kind of surprising where you see just this little kid will just shove their brother or sister. You're like, where did you learn that from? There's this thing that kids naturally do because they're born with sin, and we have that still today. That also tends to make us jealous, doesn't it? Well, what do we know? How do we see that where sometimes people can be jealous? I have a few things here. Imagine on Christmas, you know, one of your kids gets some awesome little Hot Wheels, right? Maybe like a little yellow truck, an awesome little sports car, and even the Batmobile. And they're so excited, right? You got these awesome gifts, these new Hot Wheels they're going to love, right? But then their brother or sister next to them opens up a present, and it's a big fire truck, the Paw Patrol fire truck. And what does the first one do that got the Hot Wheels? Are they still so excited for the Hot Wheels? Or are they looking over at that fire truck and they're going, I don't want those. They were just so happy with the gift they got, but then they saw the gift that someone else got and they don't want it anymore. And they're jealous and they want that gift. Now, we might say kids do that all the time, but do we do that too? Do we reject gifts out of jealousy? When we have something and we've been blessed with so many things, but we see the things that others get and we're just so jealous that we're no longer happy with what we have. Well, as Paul is writing in Romans, he talks about this jealousy that he's hoping actually happens. And he's talking about the Jewish people and the Gentiles. And the section, if you heard it and if you read it again a few times, it's not the easiest section to understand. It talks about the Gentiles believing, right? In verse 13, I'm talking to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I take pride in my ministry, in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? He's speaking about the Gentiles, that they have reconciliation, but the Israelites are rejecting the gift that they were given, and he's actually hoping to envy them, to help them to believe. Now, what is this all about? What is this picture? Well, the easiest way to explain this whole text and kind of what is going on is actually to look at the story of the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son, right? One son goes away, and he even tells his dad, like, I wish you were dead. Give me all the money that I would get as an inheritance. And what does he do? He goes off into sinful living, wastes all the money, and is down on his luck, just eating the food, wishing to eat the food that pigs eat. Finally, he comes to his senses, wants to come home, and what happens? His father welcomes him home and gives him grace and forgiveness without anything, right? He's so sorry, but the son doesn't even get to say the words. And we see, as the theme talks about, that grace is for all, even for that person, even for me, the one who doesn't deserve it. We see that. That's the Gentiles, right? The Gentiles are the ones who, they didn't have the law. They don't have the traditions. They weren't God's chosen people. But God has welcomed them and gives them this grace and forgiveness. But then you have, as there's the party going on, the older brother. Older brother here, imagine them being Israel. And Israel, they see the Gentiles and they're saying, they don't deserve this. I've followed your ways from way back. We have the patriarchs. You know, we eat kosher food. We don't eat bacon. We wash our hands correctly. We go to the synagogue and temple. We do everything correct, God. We should be your people. You should reject them. But what does the father do? He's sitting there and saying, come into the party. I love you just as I love them. And this is what Paul is really saying. He sees that the Gentiles are in the party, that they've received this grace and forgiveness, but the Israelites are outside the party, angry and jealous that you butchered the best meat for that son who doesn't deserve it, right? I deserve this. How can you show love to them? And so the Israelites, like the older son, are sitting outside the party. And Paul is pleading for them to come in. So what helps us? What helps the Israelites, the Jews, the people then of our time who are like the Jews or Gentiles? The ones who have received grace, the ones who maybe had grace and now are kind of straying or jealous or just not in the word and in danger. Well, as we read on, it says this, right, in verse 28. As for the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake, but as for election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and calls are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience. So they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. That last sentence is kind of striking, isn't it? For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. From nature, from just being out in the world and how the world works, would you believe that? Would you say that? I don't think so. That God has bound us all over to disobedience? What does that mean? I think it's important then that we're in God's word. We need to be in the word so that we hear this message that God has bound us over to disobedience, that we fall short. We need to hear the law to hear who we really are. That goes for those Jewish people. The ones who are outside the party and jealous and angry and saying, it's all about me and I've done good. I've kept the law. I'm a good person. I haven't murdered. Or even those who, you know, maybe we even stick up our nose and say, yeah, I got grace. I'm here at church. I'm pretty good. I know I'm saved by grace, but look at all the things, the good things I do, right? We still need to hear that law and be reminded every day that we are disobedient, that we fall short. Why is that important to hear that? Well, because then we hear the second part. He's bound us all over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. We need to be in the word to hear the law so that we can hear the gospel. We need to be in the word so that we, in order to hear and receive mercy. I was talking to someone just the other day, and they were talking about a friend who they've been trying to get back into church. And they said, yeah, he said he's good. He goes out into into nature and he prays. Well, that's great. And God shows us his beauty in nature, but what do you not hear in nature? You don't hear about who you are and what you've done, and you don't hear about who God is and what his love is for you. That God has poured that love and mercy upon us all. Even me. Even you. The ones who don't deserve it. The son who goes away. The one who was rebellious and went away from the church or disobeyed your parents and lived a ruckus life and comes back and is repentant. Or even maybe you're the person now who's prideful. God shows that love and mercy to us all. And we need to hear that day in and day out, because you don't hear that grace and mercy anywhere else. We need to hear about how Jesus is the perfect one. How God, because of what Jesus did, could welcome us back, right? How he can lavish this love and forgiveness upon us because he has punished Christ for all of our sins, for all of our disobedience. And we have mercy because Christ won that mercy for us. And so we need to hear that and to be in that word day in and day out, because it's easy to forget, isn't it? Notice that when you're given gifts, you have that gift. But what can you do? Paul writes and he says that God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. That when God has given his gifts, when God is protecting you, no one can snatch you from his hands. Right? I think a good picture of that is actually our Old Testament lesson, where Rahab and her family, the Israelites say, bring your brothers, bring your sisters, bring everyone into your house. And if they're in that house and you have that scarlet rope, they're safe, right? It's the gift, protection and peace. But what? If they reject that, if they go out into the streets, what happens? They've rejected that safety and peace, and there's no protection. Well, how is that for us? Well, we have to be careful, too, to not reject his grace and mercy. Because that's really what Israel did. Israel said they did not want to be saved by grace. They had their laws, they had their ways, and even though they were being shared about this grace and mercy, even though they knew it over and over again in the Old Testament, they had said, no, we want to be saved this way. They had been given a gift, but they rejected it. There's people, maybe friends, family, that you know that maybe are on the verge of that, of rejecting that grace and mercy. Through our Barnabas program, our goal is to show love and to show Christ to others, to keep them close to the Word so that they can hear about the love and mercy that Christ has for them. And I think a little bit, you know, sometimes we say, you know, should we be doing a program like this? You know, if we call people up or encourage them to be in God's Word. Well, I think a little bit about, you know, think about your kids if you're in a sports program. Maybe you have 10 or 20 practices and a game in between, right? Imagine if you had 10, 20 practices and went to one, would your coach be pretty happy and would be like, yeah, you're still part of the team. You came to one practice. When there was like 19 you missed. You know, it's not saying they're not a part of the church if they're not in church, but it's hard to be a part of something when you're never there. And it's not, again, saying that you can't be in God's Word when you're not at church. You can read devotions, but here is where you really hear the law and gospel and where you get to receive the sacraments like today and taste your forgiveness. And so we're not judging anyone's hearts, but we're trying to show that love and compassion and saying, this is here where we know you're going to hear that you're loved and forgiven and we care about you, and we don't want you to reject that grace and mercy. And as we look at those around us or the rest of the world, we always have to be aware of ourselves. What are the ways that I'm cluttering my life or putting things up in front of God or making myself to be too proud? We don't want to reject that gift because God has brought us into that family, the church that is for all. I used this devotion recently with some of the shut-ins to visit and talked about how John the Baptist looks and says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or in John 3:16, God so loved the world. And Martin Luther is famous for saying this and saying, wouldn't it have been awesome if in the Bible it said, God so loved Martin Luther? Oh, it has my name in there, right? But what? Well, maybe there's another Martin Luther. So what if that's not me? But God says, no, this gift and this love is for the whole world. You included in that? Of course. And we receive that by God's grace and mercy in Christ through faith, through the Word, through the sacraments. And so our joy is to be in the church, to be a part of that church where we hear that, and then we can share that. We have the Friendship Sunday coming up, invites in the back, where we get to share about the peace that we have, the joy of knowing that God loves the world, including your friends and family. What a joy it is to have that mercy, to have that grace, and to be able to share that with the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.